Thank you, Mr. Joe Graytock, and greetings to everyone. I'd like to especially welcome for the sermonette today. I thought about the fact that we are drawing near to the days of unleavened bread. So we all start to anticipate and should start to prepare for the days of unleavened bread in advance. Because if you notice the principle, by the time we get to the days of unleavened bread, the leavening is supposed to be already out of our house. So if we're going to be if we are going to have all of the leavening out of our house, then we need to be working on that starting in advance, like right now. 10th of April will be the full moon. Brian always loves to point to the full moon and say, he'll say, if it's Feast of Tabernacles is coming, he'll say, in 1 month, we'll be at the Feast of Tabernacles, or Days of Unleavened Bread, same thing. We did, by the way, in the last week or so, have a lunar eclipse. We couldn't see it because we were under a severe cloud cover. But we are assured that there was one. I don't know who saw it, but somebody said there was one. We will be commemorating the leaving of Egypt by the Israelites. We do that every year when we keep the days of unleavened bread. And we then eat for 7 days unleavened bread, as they did when they left Egypt. That is secondary. That is secondary. We are commemorating that, but that was given to us as a physical example of a spiritual thing which was prophetically being portrayed. The primary thing which we are considering is spiritual Israel leaving spiritual Egypt. And so we'll be reminding ourselves with the physical reminders of what we're to be doing spiritually. Now is the time of preparation. I would like to talk in this sermonette about one element of our preparation, although we really can't say it's only one element because it's such a big, big element. And that element is our conversation. And what reminded me of that and made me think of that as a topic for this sermonette is the level of conversation that is existing in this entire nation and in the entire world as we see a developing difficulty ultimately is going to come upon the whole earth. What I want to do in this sermonette is look at a single verse of Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12, to see what Paul tells us about our conversation. That's the subject of the sermonette. Conversation, our conversation, how our conversation should be. Look at that verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12, to see what Paul tells us. It's not a verse that's very familiar to us. I started looking up the subject conversation, and I did a search on it, and this is the first verse that came up in the New Testament, having the word conversation in it. And I'm sure I've read it any number of times, but I wasn't familiar with it because I really hadn't read it. You can read something without really reading it. So I read it a little bit more so this time. I want to see what Paul tells us about our conversation as we approach the full moon. Here's the scripture. I would say here, we might think that every scripture that Paul writes is somehow aimed at us. And yes, this scripture is aimed at us, but the reason he wrote it was to defend his own conversation against those people who were attacking him. You know, we might have somebody attacking us as well about our conversation. And maybe we're deserving of those attacks sometimes. So this is an element that we could be thinking about as we approach the time when leavening will be gone. Second Corinthians 1 verse 12. And he puts this, interestingly enough, in the plural. Who he means when he uses these plural pronouns, you see that in this section of 2 Corinthians, he's using plural pronouns to express what he's saying. And yet there doesn't seem to be anybody else that's being referred to that we can point to in this section of Scripture. Just mostly he's writing about himself, defending himself, because he's under attack by people in the church in Corinth, and so he's defending himself against that attack. For our, Paul, but who else, we don't know. He wrote the book of 2 Corinthians apparently in more than one church area. He started it in one church area. Macedonia is one of the places that are put forth. And then continued it, maybe finishing it in Ephesus. But he writes, our rejoicing. He doesn't point to Timothy or Titus or any of the people that you might normally think that would have been indicated when he says our. For our rejoicing is this. It says a joy, rejoicing. We have, because of this, we have done something right. We have done something correct. Our conversation is something that we can be, if not proud of, that we don't have to have a sense of guilt about. Our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience. What we have had to say, our conscience tells us, is correct. We have done that. That in simplicity, godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have our conversation in the world, and more abundantly toward you. Zondervan tells us that is, in their NIV study Bible, not so much a direct instruction. He's not admonishing the people there in the church in Corinth to watch their conversation by this verse of Scripture, but he's defending himself because he's under attack by some people in that area for his conversation. But he's the testimony of our conscience is such that. So let's look for a minute at the analysis of the three things, because three or four elements that we should be paying attention to. He says he paid attention to, that he can point to, that he and whoever else he's writing on behalf of had done properly in their conversation, as testified for by their conscience. First one is simplicity. Now, when we converse, if we do it with simplicity, that kind of, some of you ladies know of a pattern brand called simplicity. And I don't know, I remember seeing my sisters and my mother with these simplicity patterns. All I ever saw was the cover. You know, it was in a little envelope, and the cover had simplicity on it. But I guess the message of the theme was that you could make something fairly simply. The simplest way to make the item that was being pictured on the front. And so when we converse, maybe there ought to be a little bit of that simplicity in our conversation so that we can be understood by other people. Simplicity. Paul said he had done that. His conscience testified that he had been good with simplicity. And I think we could all conclude that simplicity is an important companion of, they walk together, humility. If we're trying to be too impressive or too complex, then we have lost a sense of humility, haven't we? They don't go together. Love and marriage go together. Simplicity and humility go together. So Paul is saying simplicity. He has communicated with simplicity. Sincerity. Godly sincerity. That's the second element that he gives us that we ought to be monitoring in our conversation, and we should be having a conscience that tells us, as Paul sets the example for us. He's not admonishing them in the church. He's not admonishing us. He's saying, this is what I have done. But in having done that, he is admonishing us indirectly, isn't he? By his own example. By his example. Godly sincerity. What is sincerity? Sincerity is purity. So in our conversation, we should work on having it in purity. That we're not going to have it polluted by things that shouldn't be in there. Whether it's the wrong kind of language or whether it's dishonesty. Can be dishonesty or things that Christ particularly in the Sermon on the Mount said, don't say, and yet sometimes we find that they are being said. Godly sincerity, purity in our conversation. So that's the second thing here. And then he contrasts it. He said he didn't do this. He didn't speak in his conversation with fleshly wisdom. I mean, fleshly wisdom is kind of, again, the opposite. It's the contrast of godly sincerity. It is the contrast as well of simplicity. So he said, I didn't do that. So that's an example for us as well. Let's be sure we don't do that. Then he says, by the grace of God. Days of Unleavened Bread, central theme of the Days of Unleavened Bread. Year after year, we've all done it a few times in our lives, is humility. Humility. Unleavened bread. It says, we by the grace of God, have our conversation. And the grace of God ought to be reflected in what we say. Maybe in the words that we say, but maybe just in the attitude which we use while we are saying those words. The grace of God. We know who we are and what we have been given. It is by the grace of God that we can even have the understanding, or we can have a clear conscience, as Paul says he had here. The testimony of our conscience confirms that we have done these things. As we approach the days of unleavened bread, let's look at the grace of God and the testimony of our conscience. And he mentions something here at the end of this verse of Scripture. We have had our conversations, two locations. Location, location, location. There are two locations at which, he says, we have had our conversations. Talking about himself and whoever else he's with. Two places that he brings out, and he makes separate points with the two places. The first one is in the world. You know, we have had our conversation with simplicity and the grace of God and sincerity, grace of God. We have had our conversation in the world, and we have reflected those things. And there's a level at which we should, in conducting our affairs with the world, reflect these three things in the world. Examples, unconverted family. We should reflect simplicity, sincerity, humility, and not be involved with fleshly wisdom among those people in the world. Our daily contacts that we run into. There's an individual that I've started shamefully going to Popeye's Chicken one time a week or so. And I've gotten to know the guy that's on the window there. I think he's the manager. His name is Ollie. And Ollie and I greet each other. I came by in early January. And he said, "Did you have a good Christmas?" Now, if it had been one of you, you know, I would have spoken in a different way. But I said, I don't keep Christmas. So I hope that I set for myself something that was good in my conscience that I had reflected to him. So that's one standard. When we are in communication with people in the world, there's one standard, and we take it to a certain limit. And we don't try to overwhelm them or rail against them because they do something different than we do. So we keep it simple. We keep it sincere. And we reflect the grace of God in what we say. I have a bad example for you. Because we go on and read, we have our conversation in the world and more abundantly toward you. I think it was Tuesday of last week. I usually get up early and fix coffee, and then after a little while, I take my medications, and after a little while, I come in and bring a cup of coffee to Hazel. She lays there in the bed, and she usually doesn't wake up until I clank the cup of coffee down on the nightstand beside the bed. Well, this time, I knelt down beside the bed, and I said, "Will you be my Valentine?" that was not the right kind of conversation. We both understood it was a joke, but it was not the kind of simplicity and sincerity that maybe I should have reflected in my conversation more abundantly. I mean, to the world, there's one standard, but to us, we, us, and our, there is another standard. And Paul says, more abundantly, I should reflect sincerity, simplicity, humility, and the grace of God toward you than I do to the world. There's a standard of abundance to the world and a different standard of abundance toward you. April the 10th, I guess, comes in. I didn't count it up, but I was told nefariously at one point, in 7 weeks, the moon will be full. Now is the time to get the leaven out. Like Paul, I would say, defend yourself. You could be under attack. Possibility. We all could be under attack, and probably we all are, for our conversation. Paul wrote this, for our rejoicing is this. If we can get to the days of unleavened bread, and we feel like in the next 7 weeks we have made this stride in our conversation, we can rejoice. Our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience. And our conscience, if we're watching our conversation at the level that we should be, our conscience should give us a testimony that in simplicity and godly sincerity, but not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly toward you. Follow Paul's example. Let's prepare now.